Today we're going to talk about stepping into the promise. You know, Jesus, when he was born, before he was born, an angel appeared to Mary and gave her a word. And that angel told her that, hey, you found favor and God says that you're going to bear a son. I'm paraphrasing it. And she gets pregnant, right? And her and Joseph had to flee from where they were living at. They end up going down to living in Egypt. But before that, Jesus was born and they had to fulfill some type of obligation in law. They had to fulfill the requirement of the firstborn that needed to be done according to Jewish law. So they had to take Jesus to the temple and to show him to the priest. They had to also get, if I'm not mistaken, two turtle doves and sacrifice unto God to show that, hey, God, we are dedicating our firstborn to you, because the firstborn was dedicated to God. And this was the custom, this was the law, this was tradition of the time and day. But something happened when they took Jesus to the temple the first time, when he was still a baby. And that's what we're going to look into. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the second chapter, the 25th verse. If not, I have it up here on the screen. And also in their bulletins, we have a fill in the blank. You can use it if you want. If not, you can give it to your children to doodle on. It's fine. They'll make some pretty pictures. So we're going to pick up here in the 25th verse. And it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consultation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ." The first person we're going to look at real quick is Simeon. Where in the world did he come from? Like, we in Luke, we're reading the story, and all of a sudden this man out of nowhere named Simeon shows up, and the Lord starts bragging on him because he's in Scripture, isn't he? So you can say God honored him, right? Put him in Scripture. And he said this man was just and devout and waiting. He was waiting for what? The comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the Redeemer. He had the promise in his heart of waiting for the Messiah to come. And because of who he was just devout and waiting. He was just, that means he walked in a way that was pure. He was devout. That means he served God with a clean heart, and he was so sincere in it. And he latched his faith onto a promise that God had made to Israel. So he stood in a place of expectation. And in that place of expectation, it says this, "And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ." You know, when I was reading this, I'm like, that strikes me as odd. Isn't that odd a little bit? You have this man who really, we don't know his genealogy or anything, in the temple, and the Lord's, and he was devout in his years. He was just in his years. If you want to put it another way, the spirit of holiness rested on him. Because the Scripture says there are the seven spirits of God, and one of those is holiness. So the spirit of holiness rested on him. And because of that, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit gave him another promise, because he was believing. He put his faith behind the promise of the Messiah. So God gave him another promise that was personal for him. When you make it personal with God, God's going to make it personal with you. When you begin to say, "God, I'm not doing this for no one else but you. I'm holding on to your promise in my heart." God's going to give you a promise in your heart. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to share things with you. And as the story goes on, it says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the customs of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you will let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. So here he is, the Holy Spirit. He's led by the Spirit into the temple. My question is, wasn't there other people in the temple? I mean, his parents came and they have Jesus. How come no one else got the memo? I mean, we got the memo about the star in the sky, didn't we? But how come no one else got the memo that Jesus was going to be in the temple? But this man named Simeon and another person got the memo too. And we're going to dive in and look and see why they got it and why other people didn't. And what he said was, Lord, he was led by the Spirit. He was devout. A spirit of holiness was on him. The Holy Ghost led him to the temple. And he highlighted Jesus. He highlighted Mary and Joseph. And when he said that, all of a sudden, what did he recall? He recalled the word of the Lord that was spoken to him. According to your word. I look at Simeon and I say, wow, that was a man that took God at his word. That's exciting. He didn't just follow the norm. He took God at his word. He wanted to make it personal with God. Do you understand? There were customs and tradition the Jewish people had to follow during that time. But somewhere down the line, Simeon made it personal, where it wasn't about a custom and traditions. It became about who God is. He wanted to know God, and God said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. I wonder if he was seeking God with all his heart. And I wonder if that day he found him. It goes on and he starts speaking over Jesus. And it says, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this one is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Did he just prophesy over Jesus? Wow. So here's this man, Simeon, who was devout, following the law, put his faith in the word of God, awaiting for the Messiah. He sees the Messiah because he was led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit highlighted who they were. He held Jesus in his arm. And what happened? He started getting what? Revelation. Because he said, you are a light and a revelation. And he starts getting revelation about who Jesus is and what he was going to do. In doing that, he prophesies about him. And he says, hey, yea, a sword comes. And we're like, wow, that seems interesting. What in the world does that mean? Well, it says that Jesus, when he knew the thoughts and hearts of men, didn't he? When he walked around, he can discern what people were thinking and reasoning from. He could discern that because it says in the word of God, it says, for the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing bone from marrow, spirit from soul. Wow. I wonder, is that what Jesus did? I wonder if he was the word made flesh. And I wonder, is that what happened here? Because he said he would reveal the hearts of many. So you got this guy named Simeon who's in the temple. Now, there's speculation about Simeon a little bit. We don't know for sure, but it's been reasoned that Simeon, his father was Hillel. Hillel was the leader of the Sanhedrin in that place. And it said that Simeon took over for Hillel when he retired. And Simeon was the one who trained Gamaliel. Who was Gamaliel? Gamaliel is the one who trained Saul of Tarsus. Wow. Now, wouldn't that make a little more sense? And that's why Saul was so zealous for the things of God. Because his mentor was zealous. And his mentor was zealous. And they had a certain way of living. If you remember what Paul said, he said, I was trained by Gamaliel. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And so it's speculated that this Simeon that met with Jesus was the same Simeon who mentored Paul's mentor. I was like, that's pretty cool. But he was highlighted by God. Another person was highlighted by God. So this is for you, ladies. Yay. Come on. And there was a prophetess. Let's stop right there. What was she? Oh. Hey, women, you guys can prophesy too. Come on. Anna and the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in many years and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of 84 years who did not depart from the temple, serving God with fasting, prayers, day and night. Let's stop. So what we can say is people around the town knew about Anna. They knew that she heard from God. Matter of fact, she was known from her hearing from God. She was called a prophetess. That's according to the scripture. And she her husband passed away, but she spent time in the temple doing something. She spent time in the temple fasting and praying day and night. And what happened? Well, and she, coming in at the instant, gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those in Jerusalem, eagerly expecting the redemption. What did she do? This woman was a prophetess. She would fast and pray. And if you read in the different translations, it says she was doing secret service unto God. That sounds like a scripture, doesn't it? Jesus said, when you go and pray, don't you pray in the marketplace where everyone can hear you these long prayers? You go to your closet, you pray, and your Father who sees and hears you in your closet will reward you openly. So here's Anna in the temple. She's praying. She's seeking God. She's saying, God, you know, I just want to minister before you. I'm praying for the redemption of Israel. I'm concerned about my people. I'm concerned about what's going on. I'm interceding for them. I'm interceding, Lord. And she stayed at the temple. And God said, okay, because of what you were doing in secret, I'm going to bless you openly. And she was another person who was high, who can see who the Messiah was. My question is, what was everyone else doing? Come on. You got to real, because it says that she began to speak about it to everyone in the temple. How come Simeon and Anna were the only two that got the memo? Well, let's look at Simeon for a moment. He was devout. He was just. A spirit of holiness was on him. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. And it said the Holy Spirit came on him and told him secret things. Then you have this woman named Anna, who evidently she was getting words from God all the time, right? Because she was a prophetess. People knew, hey, you got a problem? There's a woman in this temple. Listen, she may seem a little loony. She's cool. Go and talk to her. They didn't meet her like, hey, how you doing? They probably was like, good. I'm struggling with this. And she would begin to speak what God was saying. Because she was known as a prophetess. Wow. And I realized something when God was sharing this story. It popped in my head when I was writing the sermon. I was like, wow, I wonder, and I'm questioning, are we hearing what God is doing in this moment? There were other people in the temple that couldn't discern what God was doing in that moment. But there was two that did what? Discern what God did in that moment. They spoke about it. For some odd reason, I'm surprised the whole temple didn't realize that was the Messiah and celebrate it. They just looked at them two like they were crazy. Oh, it's just those two weirdos again. Come on. It's just being nice about it. But think about it. They were living different than what other people were living. And because of their different lifestyle that they chose to live according to God, come on, everyone had the law and everyone had the customs. But what separated them two from everyone else? It was the Holy Spirit, but it was because of how they chose to live. See, he was a devout man. He was just. He made, and guess what? That means he was holy before God, because he said in the Old Testament, be you holy, for I am holy. So holiness rested on him. He was trying to be just. What does that mean? Just before God and just before man. In the book of Job, it says, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. That man was an upright and perfect man, one who feared the Lord and shunned all evil. I wonder if that's what Simeon got in his spirit to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to honor the Lord. I understand there's customs and laws and type of traditions, but I'm going to honor the Lord in a personal way, and I'm going to begin to seek him when no one's around. Not everyone's going to know what I'm doing, but I'm going to share some things. And I wonder if the Lord rested on him because of that, because this is what I know. Anna was fasting and praying also. While Simeon was living this different lifestyle, Anna was living a different lifestyle. She's like, hey, I'm going to spend time at the temple. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to do some secret service unto the Lord. That's what I'm doing. And it's not for a show. It's not to be seen as someone. But God says, if you honor me in the secret, I'll honor you openly. But they got the memo. What is God sharing in this moment with this community of believers here? What is God putting within our hearts? You know, I knew this person. They were crazy, and I'm going to say crazy prophetic. Like if they spoke something, then you could take it to the bank; it's going to happen. And you know, I saw this person. They were just a casual person. And you're like, "Hey, man, why are you like that?" He's like, "Because I desire God more than I desire air to breathe." I was like, what? I'm young. And he's just like, I desired God more than I desired air to breathe. He's like, so one day I was seeking after the Lord with all my heart. I was in a church. He said, you know, the pastor would let me come in. And I was just sitting in the church. And the man said this. As I was crying out to the Lord from the depths of my soul, Jesus appeared in front of him. He took oil and dumped it on his head, then vanished like that. The next morning, he told his pastor, hey, this is what happened to me. The pastor told him, you lay hands on everybody that you see in the church today. Everyone got touched by the Lord that day. People were getting healed and made whole because someone decided to do something secret before the Lord and pursue him with a pure heart. Wow. Anna and Simeon, they were doing something different. You know, one of the best words the Lord spoke to me, I'm going to share it. And it was like a punch in the gut. I told some other people, they said, yeah, God really roasted you on that one, didn't he? I was like, yeah, but it was a good one. There's a man that he's a minister. And when he goes around, he prays for people, there's results. You know, if I was a business investor, and say for I was a bad investor, and there was other investors that was good, how many people know results speaks? You know the tree by the fruit it produces. So results speak. This man was getting results. And I'm thinking in my heart, like, God, I believe that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What's the difference between him and me? I love when God speaks. Because Papa said, I'll tell you the difference. You ready? You talked and talked, but he talked and walked. I love when God talks to me like that. You know, because it produces something in me. It challenges me to grow. He said, because he just talked. I talked and talked about what I believe, but he talked and walked. He said, I believe it. I'm stepping into it. And that's why I see results. And that's why you don't. If you want to see results, I'm no respecter of person, but I want you to believe and step into it. Why did Simeon and Anna see results? Because they lived different. They lived a different lifestyle than what everyone else was living. And out of that different lifestyle, they produced a different encounter with God. This is just the truth, man. Why was John the Baptist so radical? He lived a different lifestyle. Why was Peter and the apostles different? They lived a different lifestyle. What separated Stephen in the New Testament? He lived a different lifestyle. And even when he got martyred, his face lit up and he looked into heaven and saw the Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus had to stand up and give this man an ovation. That's what scripture said. And the Lord stood up and watched how he became one of the first martyrs. What separated the people of the Bible from the people of today? It's a good word, isn't it? Merry Christmas. They lived a different lifestyle. How you choose to live will affect people around you. Parents know that how they live will affect their children. But guess what? If you're not being affected here by God, see, they desired God. Are you hungering and thirsting after God? Is that what you really desire? Or is it okay just to play the level ground and to keep it even keel? Or is it okay just to maintain? Or are you desperate yet? They were desperate people. You say, well, desperate times call for desperate measures. We're living in a day and age where it's crazy, man. I just read this crazy thing that they're like putting two Santa Claus coloring books together and making Santa have a husband. That's weird. That's really weird to me, man. And it's weird that everyone's accepting it. Like, not everyone, but you know, they're like, oh, that's just so normal. That's odd. Are we willing to live a different lifestyle that makes people see God where they normally wouldn't see God? So even if people say, well, God's not moving here, we see God moving and we speak into those things and those things begin to produce and come forth. Because we call those things as they're not, as they are. That's what the scripture says. But that was the difference. The difference was how they were living and how they were pursuing God. And that's why when Jesus came to town, they got the memo. Put it this way. They received a word from the Lord of what he was going to do. Have you been getting memos from God? Now I'm going to share. So this is for everyone here. Last night I was sitting on my couch. It's before I got the phone call. I was sitting on my couch and I was praying. I said, Lord, and it wasn't like a long prayer. I keep them short and sweet. I said, Lord, what do you want to do here? I said, what do you want to do here at Mapleview? What do you want to do with the community here? What do you want to do? I'm going to say this before I go into what he told me because I'm going to share. If what I'm speaking, the Lord starts confirming to you, just put your hand up and wave. You don't have to keep it up. Because when the word is spoken with confirmation, it says, with two witnesses, so a thing shall be established. That's the scripture, man. So if the Lord is confirming to your spirit and your heart, then just put your hand up and wave. Then you can take it down. No pressure, though. If you don't want to, you don't have to. This isn't a pressure. Wow, there's hands up. I didn't even say the word yet. One, two. Wow. Come on, Lord. So I sat there in the chair and I began to say, Lord, what do you want to do? Because, man, I don't want to run off my strength and I don't want to run off my plan. I want the plan of the Lord for today. For today. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he said. He said, I'm released. He started off, he said, the oil vats in heaven are filled. And there is getting ready to be a release. He actually said, there is a release. He said, there's a 7-year revival hitting here. And he told me, and I asked the Lord, 7 years. He said, 7 years. And I said to the Lord, can you double it? I was like, I'm a little kid when it comes to God. I'm like, Papa, can you double it? Why just 7? Can you double it, Lord? And he said to me, if our hearts are prepared in a proper place, he will double it to a 14-year revival. I began to shake all in my chair where I was sitting at. I started shaking. I felt the presence of God hit me so hard and the anointing began to hit me. I called to my wife. I said, honey! Honey, I need you. Sit with me. God's given me all this stuff, and I got to release it because he's given it to me. He said he's going to touch people, and many signs and wonders, unusual things, are going to follow. Things that people say, I have not seen this in all my life, but I only read about it. And then as he begins to speak to me about the oil vats being poured out, and he said, I'm going to begin to speak to the older generation, which is a Caleb generation. The Caleb generation was the generation that walked with Joshua. It was a young and old generation that walked together. Caleb had to walk with Moses. He was about as old as Moses, but Caleb was the only one in his family that entered into the promised land beside Joshua. And he said, there are Calebs that have been dreaming about the move of God, have been seeking about God in private. They've been praying for it. They're tired of just reading about what God did. They're expecting God to do something now. He said, I'm linking the Calebs with the Joshuas. And in this place of linking the Calebs and Joshuas, there's a scripture saying, in the last days, I'll return the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. Come on, God's going to take back the family. He's taking back the family. He's taking back what it means to be a family, a proper marriage, a proper family. He's taking it back. And the Lord began to speak to me more. He said, I'm going to do this. I am doing it. He said, I am doing it. He said, your old men will begin to prophesy and see visions. He said, visions are coming to the Caleb generation, and the young men and women will begin to prophesy. The Lord is going to begin to come upon you strong, strong than what you felt before. There's going to be a quickening in your spirits like you have not felt before. The things that were delayed are not delayed no longer. Is anyone getting a confirmation in their spirit so that we can see around the room? Good. Because I want you to know this isn't me. It's not about me anyway. It's about him. And he said to me, it can be doubled if we don't just experience revival, but we learn to carry it. Some people come for revival for the oohs and the ahs, but he said, if in the midst of revival, if you would hunger for me like there wasn't revival, I'll double it. The Lord also began to speak. He said, you know the good news? They're going to report good news. They're going to begin to publish good news. I also started speaking in a language from heaven, and I kept speaking in Amish. My wife was with me. She's like, what in the world? I kept saying goot, 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 which means good, good, good. And the Lord said to me, they will even publish what I'm doing in the Amish newspaper called the Gemeinde Brief. They will publish because I'm getting ready to pour out oil. And the Lord shared with me, this oil is being poured out. Poured out. And he was talking to me about Mapleview. Because that's what I asked him about. I know he's going to pour out it in other places. I'm not against that. But here he says he's pouring out oil, which is symbolic of the anointing of God, which is the power of God. There's things that people have preached about for years, and when you looked for the fruit, you didn't see it. God says, now is the season where you will see. And Papa said, this is the hour of visitation for you. The Lord says, I'll come and visit my people. And then I begin to prophesy, and you can ask my wife who will confirm this. I begin to speak, and I ended up prophesying a chapter in Joel. And I'm with my wife, and I'm talking. I'm like, honey, I wasn't even thinking about oil vats. After the Spirit lifted off me for a little bit, and I was able to go, I said, honey, what in the world are oil vats? I don't talk like that. So I looked. And I looked in the Bible and I found Joel. And as I started reading Joel, it says this in Joel. It says, and the Lord will visit his people and he will restore the years of the locust. The years where it was like we were barren. The years of brokenness. The years of broken promises. God says he is restoring the years that the locust had ate and destroyed. And in that, and if you keep reading in Joel, he says, and the oil vats will be filled, and the grain vat in the grain house will be filled. And then he goes on and says, and I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will see and have dreams. I had no idea I was prophesying Joel. But that's what the Lord said. This is what's happening here. But the question, but the Lord says he's going to do it. But my question is to us, are you ready for him to do it? And are you willing to prepare your hearts to receive? You, the inkling, and it's going to begin to pick up in 2019. He said, you're going to start seeing it in 2019. It's just going to begin to then pick up. Like someone turning on the water faucet. And you know how it drips first and you keep moving it, and then all of a sudden, he said, it's going to be just like that. So I'm going to tell you guys to do a favor for me. I want you guys to make a prayer list. I want you guys to make a prayer list. You put a prayer list of who you're believing for, what you're believing God for, and your family members. You get what I'm saying? You make your personal prayer list. Bring it here, because we're going to pray over it, and we're going to continue to pray over it, and we're going to believe God's going to change some things. We're believing that your family members who may be the farthest away from God are going to get touched by him, because the Lord has made a promise to us, and it says in the word, when the Lord promises a thing, he is not slack concerning it, and he's not a man that he should lie. How many people have the word of confirmation again? Look around the room for a moment. Keep your hands up. I want to share this with you. No man can do that. Only God can. Only God can give people the same word and allow the Spirit to confirm what I'm speaking. It's from the Lord. You make your prayer list. You write down some of your dreams in your heart that you felt God wanted you to do years ago. If that's you, if I'm talking to Calebs, you write down the dreams that the Lord put within your heart years ago. We're going to establish and believe those things. If I'm talking to the Joshua generation, I'm telling you to get ready and you write down those dreams the Lord's giving you. We're all got a part to play in this. I refuse to make it a one-man show about a pastor. I don't like it, and I'm not about that. I'm about the King of Kings. And we're going to make it about Jesus. We're going to keep it about Jesus. And if people don't like it, we're going to preach about it more. Because it's about him.